Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
We're happy to have Ron Kangas with us on the program again today. Ron, it's nice to have you back.
It's good to be back.
Let's get to it, Ron.
And we're just getting going. This message is a classic. It's one of my favorites in this life study.
I'm very much looking forward to it. The title of our message today is The Captain of Salvation. Logically, we think that for salvation, you need a Savior or a Redeemer. But why do we need a captain for our salvation?
We need to make it emphatically clear that we surely need Christ as the Savior. And we absolutely need Christ as the Redeemer. There is no way to be saved without this personal Savior, the God-man. And we surely need him as the Redeemer who bought us back with his precious blood and has brought us back to God that we may enjoy God as everything to us in Christ as the Spirit. Regrettably, many believers have a shallow, even elementary concept of salvation. If we understand salvation merely as a rescue from hell to heaven, then we don't really need a captain. We just need a Savior and a Redeemer, one who allegedly brings us out of the likelihood of going to hell and brings us to heaven. However, the goal of God's salvation is not heaven. We are told in the book of Hebrews that God is bringing many sons into glory. For this, we need a captain. Why? Because there are forces, both human and satanic, that resist this kind of progress in God's salvation. The Lord has come into us. Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Deep within our regenerated spirit, we have Christ, the life-giving Spirit, as the hope of glory. But there is a lot of resistance to this glory saturating and permeating our entire being. The self resists. The flesh resists. Things like sin and death in us resist. Human opinion resists. Our old man, our oldness resist. Religion is a resistance. The world is a resistance. Culture is a resistance. The enemy himself resists our progress. He wants to keep God's children in an infantile state so they are no threat to him. Because of all of this resistance and opposition, there is a fight concerning our being brought into glory. Because of the fight, there is a captain. A captain, Christ was revealed to Joshua, chapter 5. Before the children of Israel entered into the good land, the leader, so-called, Joshua, needed to see who the real commander was. That is Christ himself. Now, if we have some understanding of God's goal to bring us into glory and some recognition of the fact there is resistance, we will appreciate Christ as our fighting captain. I am happy to testify that my Christ is my captain of salvation. And over the years, he has been fighting in me, even fighting against me, in order to bring this brother of his more and more into the glory of God. This is a wonderful, a thrilling, and inspiring aspect of Christ. So let's listen for more of this Christ.
Let's join Witness Lee.
the most precious part of God's salvation, the enjoyment of Christ today. To enjoy Christ as our life, as our satisfaction, and as our rest is the most precious part of God's so great a salvation. Now, we come to the captain of our salvation. Oh, this is a hard message to give. Without experience, we couldn't understand a beat. Doctrinally speaking, I assure you, you could not understand a bit of this one great thing that is the captain of salvation. What does this mean? In salvation, what we need is a savior or a redeemer. In a human sense, logically speaking, in salvation, we don't need a captain. We don't need a fighter. We don't need a leader. We don't need any pioneer. But in God's salvation, in this wonderful salvation, in this so great a salvation, surely we need such a captain. A captain is a leader. Now we have to ask what this captain is leading us into. This captain is leading us into glory. Amen. The glory of God. What is God's glory? It's hard to explain. I just help you a little bit in John chapter 17. The Lord Jesus, in his prayer, told the Father, the glory you give me, I have given them. The captain is leading us into the glory which he has given us already. We have been called into this glory. This glory was designed by God's wisdom in eternity past. 1 Corinthians 2:7 says this. In eternity past, God designed, God made a purpose to bring us into this glory. When Christ will appear, we shall appear with him in his glory. What is this? I do believe nearly all of you would think glory just shining. To see that way is something too objective. That is no doubt according your mental, objective understanding and talk. No reality. Let me show you one thing. The Lord Jesus one day went to the mountain. On the mountaintop, he was transfigured. Do you believe the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus was that all of a sudden, Shekinah glory from the third heavens shining. When the Lord Jesus, God, transfigured, the glory didn't come from outside. The glory didn't come from the third heavens. It came out from right within him. That's why it is called transfiguration. The glory into which we will be brought is right now in us. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It is altogether something Amen. Subjective.
Amen.
Since the day we got regenerated, the seed of glory has been sown into us.
Ron, this phrase, so great a salvation, surely warrants our consideration. Is it possible to be saved in the common understanding of that term and miss this so great salvation that we're seeing in Hebrews.
Yes, and this is the situation of the vast majority of believers today. There are millions of blood-bought, spirit-regenerated children of God in this country who have no idea of what this great salvation is in Hebrews. The salvation here is regarded as eternal life in heaven. A great many saved believers expecting a mansion in heaven without having any idea that God's goal is to provide such a great salvation that will bring them into the glorious expression of God Himself. I realize I'm speaking a frank and striking word, but in the Lord's presence, I must say this is the truth. Many of us can testify we were real believers, even seekers of Christ. We were saved, but we did not know the great salvation of God in the book of Hebrews. The salvation revealed here is not heaven, but God Himself expressed as glory. Unfortunately, saved persons can be veiled concerning God's great salvation. This is why we beg our listeners not only to listen to today's presentation, but to search the Scriptures and to seek the Lord and to pray to the Lord for enlightening concerning so great a salvation.
Ron, let's rejoin Witness Lee for more of our life study.
What I would say about glory, let me illustrate in this way. I use this illustration several times. Carnation flower. Here you have a tiny seed of carnation. Little. No glory. But if you sow this seed into the earth and let it grow and grow and grow, eventually it will get into a blossoming stage. When the carnation blossoms, that is entering into glory. What is the glory of the carnation? Its blossom is its glorification. That is the entering into glory of the carnation. But from the seed stage to enter into the blossoming stage, it needs a process. If you were that little carnation, you would tell us how much fighting you have passed through. Because the life element within the seed would not be able to come out of the shell. It has to fight against the shell to break through the shell. And then the growing earth. Don't forget, the soil is something that helps the carnation to grow. I call it the growing soil. Even the growing soil is a kind of frustration. While it helps you to grow, it frustrates you to get out. You have to fight against the helping and growing soil. This is the process. Amen. All through the way, the growth for entering into the blossoming stage is altogether a matter of fighting. All of us, not one exception, you and me, everyone, is a carnation seed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. By being regenerated, that life of glory has come into us.
Amen.
The life we have within as the seed is the life of glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory.
Amen.
The glory that the Bible speaks is the very blossoming of God's divine element. God's divine element someday will blossom. Now we have a heavenly divine power.
Amen.
Not by God's creation, but by God's regeneration.
Amen.
When God regenerated us, He put into us something marvelous.
Ron, I like this very graphic picture of glorification with the carnation flower that we saw several times in our life study of Romans. It is very helpful. And now again today in Hebrews, we see it again. But today I was particularly touched with the matter of the fighting aspect of the life within the seed. The life contained in a seed really has to fight before it reaches the stage of being glorified, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. You have the seed, the glory, the blossoming of the carnation flower is contained in the seed as a potential. But there is what we call a kind of fighting that must take place stage by stage in order for this blossoming to appear. First, there's the fighting against the shell of the seed itself. Then there's a fighting against the soil, which on the one hand is necessary for growth, and which on the other hand hinders growth. So a life power is needed to press through the soil to the surface. Then there's a fight for growth and maturation. There are a number of things in the environment which would hinder the full growth and development of the carnation plant. So eventually there will be the growth, there will be the budding. But the budding is not the glorification. This is a crucial time in which there is a full blossoming for the manifestation of the glory and beauty of the carnation flower. This is an illustration, of course, of the stages of our growth from the time of regeneration to the time of our glorification. This growth leading to glorification involves a fight. The shell of the self must be broken, all the resistance must be overcome, all the hindrances to growth and maturation need to be dealt with until the life within us that functions by a law, an innate capacity, will bring us into the expression of God, into glory. Because there's a fight and because there's resistance, there is the need for an experienced captain, one who has been through the process stage by stage, one who is now simultaneously in glory, but also in us, to repeat the process in all the believers that he himself has passed through until we all are in the eternal glory of God.
Let's go back, Ron, to Witness Lee for our conclusion today.
Now we all are prepared to understand the captain of salvation. This salvation is the very salvation that brings us into glory.
Amen.
And Jesus, our Savior, is the captain of this salvation. He took the lead to fight through that the seed of glory had the chance to blossom. All the time, the seed of glory was in him. And this seed of glory had to come out. You read the four Gospels, you can realize that the life of Jesus was a fighting. All the time, Jesus was fighting the battle for the seed of glory to grow, for the glory to come out, and for him to be brought into the glory. The Lord entered into glory not by ascending. He entered into glory by resurrecting. His resurrection was his entering into the glory. He fought for his glorification, fighting for glory. He was a pioneer. He cut the way and he paved the way. He spontaneously became qualified to be the leader, so he is the captain. We have to cross the river. We are still crossing. He has crossed the river. Now he is on the other side. He is in the land of glory. Now he is in glory. We are not yet. We are on the way, following him as our captain. Before his incarnation, he didn't have the experiences of human suffering. Before his incarnation, he was not qualified. The qualification, the perfection, is suffering. The experience of human sufferings. He is taking the lead. Don't miss him. Look into him. Amen. Follow his steps. This is the right meaning of the captain of their salvation.
Ron, our time is short, but we have to comment again. We've seen today our need to follow our captain as he has paved the way for us, leading us into glory. But in this following, we should be prepared to suffer as he has suffered, and even to grow to appreciate our little sufferings as the helpers to bring us into that glory. Ron, is there any other way that we can find our way into glory?
No, there is no other way. This is the teaching of the Scriptures. This is the revelation of the New Testament. We have the divine life within us, growing and developing and maturing unto the stage of glorification. Because there is so much resistance to this process, there's a fighting. Furthermore, in order to deal with the resistance, a lot of which is in our fallen nature, there is the sufferings. Through the sufferings, the old creation is consumed, the natural life is smashed, the self is broken, and the hindrances are removed. The New Testament reveals, especially through Paul's experience and testimony, that the degree of glory is related to the degree of suffering. Paul himself says, "The momentary lightness of affliction works for us an eternal weight of glory." God wants us to have not only glory, but a weight of glory. Of course, this will be realized in eternity. But even now, in this present age, we can bear witness to the fact that many believers are light. Their teaching is light. Their prayers are light. Their ministry is light. But others are weighty and solid and substantial. And their prayers are weighty, and their ministry is weighty. Why? Because they have followed Christ in the way of affliction to touch something of the weight of glory. So I have to say again, the God-ordained sufferings are a necessary and essential part of our pathway into glory. But the good news is the Lord has not left us to ourselves. He is the high priest praying for us. He is the captain fighting for us. He is the shepherd guiding us. He is the grace sustaining us. He is the Spirit indwelling us. We have such a wonderful Christ, so we would not fear to take the way He took, the way into glory.
Ron, we surely do need a Savior, a Redeemer, but unequivocally, we need a captain of our salvation. Thank you very much, Ron, for today's sharing.